this is the Silosphere, and
do you know the intro?
Yeah. And it's going to go on your shoulders,
mm-hmm.
And it'll balance pretty well. But you just need to, with your hands, you just need to hold it in place. Don't squeeze it like this, because mm-hmm. It's kind of fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna guide you through the space, and I'll watch out and make sure that you're totally safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point we'll come back here, and you'll take a look at the screen. And Rebecca is going to be reporting on everything she hears in the space.
Mm-hmm.
So she's listening, and she's writing down footsteps, a bus goes by, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to hear it. When you want to come out, mm-hmm. if you hate it and you can't take it, just wave your hands at me. And,
okay. Even if you don't hate it.
Yeah, when you want to come out, just let me know. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Hi. So now I have this thing on my head. It's like a sphere. It has a really tiny camera on top, and now I can view the room through a really small tiny monitor. Hello, do I look weird or something? You can also experience, it's a weird feeling. It's like, quite heavy, this thing. I wouldn't say that it's like very, that's nice, nice experience. Yes, I'm coming. He's waving to me. Stop. It's like going into space. Now I can see myself on the mirror. And now I see a screen. Somebody's typing some stuff. I cannot have the full picture. Conversation, traffic, tremble, sound. So they have this like huge projection on the wall, and with this really tiny camera. Oh gosh.
Okay.
And now it's off.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Did I break it or something?
No, it's been. It's kind of fragile sometimes.
We're doing an interview right now.
Other people.
Okay.
It's
not my fault,
no. No. Okay. It's totally
cool. I like it, though.
Yeah,
it's like
else.
Kind of spaceman kind of.
Yeah, kind of space.
Nice. It's like when you are kind of, you have this kind of really limited eyesight, mm-hmm. and also you have this kind of biased sound, like this projected things
yes.
on you. You can easily escape reality, and of course, when
yeah.
you have like. You know, a tiny monitor on the front.
Yeah.
You always have this kind of feeling of insecurity, kind of, you know, stepping on unknown
yeah.
grounds,
yeah.
like
yeah.
our astronauts go
yeah.
do. So
yeah.
it's, I think it's, it works.
Yeah.
And if you also had a fabricated environment.
Mm-hmm.
Physically.
If you just, small, like this one, like objects maybe
yeah.
at
yeah.
some point. And people could, yeah, or interact. Because I was really shocked when I saw myself just for a second there, you know? And
that's why we have that there. It's really good.
And for some reason, after a certain point, my view became black and white. Was that easy because of us?
It's because of the dark. It's darker over here, and so it's going into night vision, the camera.
Yeah.
And so it switches.
So that's also something that I really like, you know? Kind of have all these kind of deliberate things in the space. That's you know, take, you know, they kind of interact with your experience, and that makes it like augments it, I think. And, and but as this, as a concept, I really liked it. I mean, this kind of please talk a bit about your piece.
Sure, we've just talk about kind of the experience, because we've taken it. Jimmy's taken people outside, and that's also a really different experience. And one of the most interesting things that someone said yesterday was that they. When they walked outside, they felt the sun on them, and they were so shocked because they realized they had a body again. Because they had been inside of it and were so disconnected from their body that they were like, oh my God, I actually, now I remember, like, because someone else said, you know, you don't think about how much you perceive through the kind of, you know, just the sense of touch in your head and just
Exactly. Yeah, it's
really, it really does feel like you're having this kind of out-of-body experience, and you're
definitely
much more
you
aware of your senses afterwards.
Yeah, a lot of people have the big moment for them is when they take the head off, and they're like, wow, there's a lot going on in the real world.
But where we actually started from a place that was, we were thinking about, number one, the mediated experience, and walking around with a screen and experiencing the world somewhat through your screen, and kind of thinking that through.
Yeah, which is also a very kind of, how do you call that? Minimal, not minimal, you don't have like a full sense of the surroundings. You have a very narrow down kind of...
Exactly.
Which, because you walk in, you know,
So we wanted to take that further and kind of explore it. And we also were interested in, you know, all of the radio waves and kind of cell phone waves and everything, they're always traveling through our bodies.
And we don't experience them.
So what if you could perceive them? What if you had this kind of extended apparatus where you could perceive of these sorts of things? And it really evolved from there, where we started thinking about the sphere, and we were also thinking, well, we have a lot of the things we're thinking about, thinking about creating a special space, a soundscape that's very personal. And Jimmy was telling me about the about cathedrals that were built around organs based on the sound waves.
That's true.
You'd have the harmonious sound.
By
the size of the building. And so we were, at one point we were thinking, how would we make this sphere, which is 48? Anyway, however the diameter, and I'll make the waves, the frequency, that will be the perfect match for the sphere.
I think it worked really well, the soundtrack. It will be even more interesting if you could feed live sound in it at some point.
Yep.
Right, so,
So the interaction between the live space and and this space is obviously really interesting, and there's a lot that we could do there. And one of the things that we've also, when we first showed this piece about a month ago...
Where else did we show?
In D.C. And people came out and they said, you know, Jimmy was such an interesting character. And, like, him as a guide... And that space was actually really interesting because you had to go upstairs and there were narrow hallways. And so he was really guiding you. And they said he was a really interesting character, and they also heard his voice in the soundtrack sometimes.
Right, so because it's a different soundtrack, and I had a voiceover.
Actually, there was a specific point where I could say, it would say, follow me or something, and you were like doing this, and it was like,
come on,
something like that. So is he talking to me like telepathy kind of thing going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nice. So we were thinking about, you know, now I have the same recording, you know, and I respond in the space to what the person in the head is hearing. That's like one basic. And then I could, and then next, my voice could be in your head recorded. And then... Yeah, and then maybe I could have a small microphone and I speak with you.
It's a lot of, I mean, one of the things that's nice is that we've always approached this project as this iterative kind of thing. That it's really about a dialogue with the people that we're presenting it to.
But it's also a dialogue with ourselves in the space, and so many levels.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly what we're doing.
Because that's what you get when you deprive yourself from so many things that you're taking for granted, and then, you kind of reevaluate something.
Right.
Like a moment of clarity kind of thing.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
That's really wonderful. Yeah. That's exactly, and then I think in terms of the evolution of the project, we're always interested in hearing what people say, because it is such a personal experience.
Yeah, it's very personal.
We're kind of about enhancing that, and where can we go with it, and kind of pushing those boundaries, and so I think we'll evolve this project over time and explore some of these things with the live sound and putting that in your head, or maybe even like amplifying the sound that you're making outwards. Mm-hmm. Some people were asking us, because they started laughing when they were inside, and they said, "Could you hear me?" You know, and they were like, because they didn't know.
Amplify, and then only the person who inside listening to it, or having some small speakers attached.
Right, and that's a good question, because there is the element of everyone watching the person in the sphere.
That's always a big deal, too.
It becomes performative.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the people in the sphere, like, feel like they're kind of in a mask. They get to be anonymous, and they get to kind of be someone totally different, which is pretty
great. That's
definitely
something.
Yeah. And you mentioned that one of your initial inspiration was like, walking around with a camera, right?
Or with a phone.
And did you have any kind of personal experience or an accident or something that you were deprived of something, and then you started thinking about how to creatively, or is this not the case?
Good question.
Because I think a person with some kind of disability or for a certain period of time would definitely find this kind of peace. Especially people who are, I don't know, blind for some period, or...
Yeah, or people who work with blind people.
So that would be like, for me, kind of gave me this kind of sense of not being able to do things that I usually do, but then find creative ways to work things out with that thing. Kind of like, this is something that's I inherited from you, let's say, and I have to live with that and walk around with that. And it's more like it's kind of, you learn a few things about not taking too much things for granted.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's amazing.
Wow, yeah. Because it is a kind of, are you thinking this is a kind of a disability, putting this on?
No, I didn't mean that.
Taking away,
For example, maybe a person who had a temporary disability.
Yeah.
Would come up with the same idea, but because it more or less it kind of narrows you down the options that so it's
Absolutely. It is definitely
This is like, I would say that I didn't want to
no, it's okay, but it is, I think that this, it is a very, we're giving you a silo experience. We're giving you this experience that is one. It's not one thing, but it's like in the world we can see and touch and taste and feel, but and hear. But here, you're narrowed down to one small thing, and so we're chopping away a lot of the environment. It's kind of like we're losing part of it in this atmosphere.
But I would imagine that even walking outside would be like a totally extraterrestrial experience.
Yeah. It is a little weird.
And people said also it felt like they were scuba diving, or like they were walking underwater.
A couple people thought underwater.
Also,
and in that sense of
exploration, kind of.
Kind of exploration, and like your body feels totally different. Everything is kind of flipped in some way. Like your perception is different, and you're unsure how to proceed, but it's also kind of magical.
Exactly.
And there is something about seeing from, I think, a foot above your head is a very interesting experience, because it kind of feels like you're floating, and you're not sure how far everything is away.
Although that you have the monitor, which is on the eye side, kind of, it's when you have the monitor, you see things, but it's like, it definitely makes you feel a bit taller, you know? Yeah, because you have placed the monitor on the position of the eyes, so it kind of, okay, these are my eyes for the time being. But I feel a bit taller, or kind of floating, because it's like floating most of the time. Cool. And what's the next step then?
I think that I would really like to explore, and we've been talking about the next iteration, doing something more with kind of Jimmy as this guide character,
yeah,
maybe, mm-hmm. and just because that was something really strong for people, mm-hmm. and they also people, a lot of people said they felt really safe inside of it, even though it was frightening mm-hmm. in some way and disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, people, a lot of people said, I can stay in there for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like this idea of exploring the comfortable space, but mm-hmm. also pushing the boundaries mm-hmm. and taking things away from you and putting them
or
back.
Gradually taking things away. And then adding other things,
right.
like some kind of a labyrinth, and yeah. you have some clues and, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
color changing or mirrors or whatever, you know,
right.
so mean, you can orientate yourself on your own.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it would be nice to have it be a little bit lighter so people can stay in it longer,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. and really explore the space, like mm-hmm. you're saying. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the physical thing.
So why did you choose this kind of size of sphere? Mm. I mean, why did you make it a bit smaller so it can fit on the arms?
We wanted it to be big enough so the sound could really fit
yeah,
on
yeah.
the space.
So the diffusion of sound.
Otherwise, it's kind of like headphones, and we really wanted it.
Yeah.
This kind of church kind of
yeah.
reverberation.
Yeah, exactly.
Of sounds.
Big head.
Yeah, we wanted it to be a real space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this physical thing we think we might change. Also, to find some kind of harness so you don't have to balance, mm-hmm. but you can have your arms. And maybe also we were thinking about creating a basket with a woven basket
mm.
instead of the plaster.
Yeah, so that it has a really warm sound. Mm-hmm. It would sound
wood
so
wood.
Amazing to have
yes.
this wood surrounding
mm-hmm.
you.
I agree, yes, mm-hmm. it would be good. I mean,
we can say one thing about this.
Oh, yes, please. Because that's
really
yeah.
yeah.
So this is the. We wanted to have the user experience
mm-hmm.
The experience the space outside of the head
mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so this is all, these are all the sounds that are going on,
mm-hmm.
but you're reading them
mm-hmm.
Instead of hearing them.
So and again, that kind of idea of taking something away from
mm-hmm.
everyone, but then putting it back, like
in
taking
a different
away
context.
One of your senses,
yeah.
and then the changing the medium,
mm-hmm.
and also you're dependent on someone else to
mm-hmm.
interpret for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went through a couple of different variations of this, and I'm not sure, I still don't know, when I talk to people coming out of the head,
mm-hmm.
They tend to talk about the experience of just walking around,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds to me like that's really enough. I mean, there's so
mm-hmm.
much going on.
It's a very
maybe
intense
just,
experience.
Yeah. yeah, and I think that we should keep on going with that in the next iteration. I'm not sure that we'll have
mm-hmm.
this sort of thing.
I mean, to be true, I mean, I couldn't actually read most of the words. I had to read.
Mm-hmm.
It was a
oh,
bit,
shoot, really?
Yeah.
It was a bit kind of, you know.
Okay.
But
probably further back.
It was also short. I mean, if I stayed there
yeah.
a bit longer, because when you are given some things and your brain always tries to make sense of them,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah,
I was there like only for what 1 minute you left
yeah.
there,
yeah.
so it wasn't long enough for me to understand the
okay.
the concept and
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah yeah.
And actually, that's funny because some people who were waiting to put on the head
mm-hmm.
yesterday were reading it and they said that was this is interesting as its own piece.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Just like this interpretation of the sound of the space. So maybe they are two separate pieces,
mm-hmm,
really.
Mm-hmm,
but I do, again, like, just...
But it's always good
to
have these kind of different things interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, different people interpret things
that's true.
Different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are really text-oriented, and that would be
exactly,
really interesting
yeah.
to them. So, yeah, it really is. I mean, so I think the next step is for us to just show it again. Every time we put it out
mm-hmm.
there, we evolve it because
yeah, it
of the feedback and...
That's the meaning of it, isn't it? Of art in general, you know, you have to get
yeah.
feedback, especially
exactly.
this kind of thing, which
keeps
is totally experiential right. thing, you know, you have to experience it to understand. It's not like
yeah.
a painting on a wall. And,
yeah.
right.
I mean, even painting, sometimes you have to stare at them
right.
many hours
yeah.
to understand them, but
yeah.
this one is something really corporeal
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
also very mental as well yeah. at the same time, which is
yeah.
it's like entering a totally different body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
that's
guess.
Great.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think, we'll just...
So what are your backgrounds in the arts? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you like sound artists, a performer?
I'm a
artist?
Sound designer
mm-hmm.
for theater
mm-hmm.
and dance, and I've made a film series of dance films
mm-hmm.
with a choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, those films I'm just directing and scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly it's for live performance. I make sound design. And then about 10, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. I worked as a professional actor for 10 years. And and that's my training is as an
actor. So here it is. I mean, I can see mostly, you know, snippets of this kind of past infiltrated in that piece a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm a visual artist and an installation artist and an interactive designer. So
here it is. All makes sense.
Yes. And so it's a good mix. I mean, so I have a strong visual background and he has an audio background and do a lot of interaction and this kind of the social, trying to understand the social experience of interacting with objects. And he has a performance background, and so obviously there's a lot of those same questions, but coming from slightly different angles as a designer and as a performer. And so that's a lot of our conversations kind of revolve around these questions of how do people interact with sound, and what would happen if we took away some of their senses, and you know, these sorts of questions.
But the interesting thing is that the way that the visuals function in the piece, I think they have a very similar way. Sound, and sound. Sometimes it goes in the head. It's a very mental process. This, in this case, both vision and sound were transferring you in a very mental scape. It was not something very obvious going on. It was you had to compose most of the time most of the things going on yourself, so you can make sense of it. So I think in that sense it was very well combined.
That's
your
great.
Background and your background.
We're proud of it. But it's, I think that the best type of art you can encounter is something that doesn't give it all away.
Right.
And it doesn't impose too much on you, but it's kind of, I think that we also tried to make something that was simple, like we had a lot of big concepts, but we wanted to make something simple enough that you're really inviting
that's
people to participate.
Most important and engaging artworks so far from my personal experience are very simple, but there's lots of work and lots of conception thing going on in the back. And they're simple and they don't burden the
invite you in to some degree.
You take control of it. It doesn't take control of you.
And it asks you to put your own meaning into it.
Exactly.
Which is wonderful. I love that too. I think it's really important.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.